Hi, I'm Trevor Reese.
And I'm Chris Fimbres.
And we host the podcast of Two Worlds all about The Flash.
You want TV Flash?
Got it.
Comic book Flash?
Got it.
Fanerotica Flash? Got it under my mattress.
I got it under my mattress too. We got everything you need for the speedster of Central City, The Flash.
And we got new episodes every Wednesday and Saturday.
Make sure to subscribe on iTunes and any of the places you can find podcasts. We're proudly a part of the Nerdist School Network.
Speedweed.
The Nerdist School Network. For class and show information, visit nerdistschool.com.
Hey, foodie callers. Thank you so much for tuning in with us every week. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Fun fact, leaving a review makes a huge difference with iTunes and helps us bring you more foodie call every freaking week. Did you know we're also on social media? You can follow us for live foodie updates on Instagram and Twitter at Foodie Call Pod. And for recipes and confusing posts from my great aunt Virginia, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/foodiecallpodcast. Got a suggestion for a guest or want some meat sale advice from Omar? Shoot us an email, foodiecallpodcast@gmail.com. Did you get all that? For our social security and credit card numbers, listen to the end of this show. Thanks so much for listening. We love you way more than grocery flyers.
Foodie Call, the interview podcast that asks guests, what's your secret sauce? With your hosts, Kylie Hodges and Omar Nava.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Foodie Call, where each week we discuss one delicious food dish with a hilarious guest. But guess what, guys? This week it's two guests, and we find out what their secrets are in the kitchen. I'm your host, Kylie Hodges, TV host, producer, and matcha advocate. Sitting across from me is Omar Nava, comedian, writer, and gambler extraordinaire, which is news to me, but he told me to say that. And together through our disgustingly adorable love for each other, we have found we also love to cook and eat together, and we want to discuss with the world what it is that makes food so great. Hi, Omi.
Hello.
Now, if you guys haven't already, follow us on Instagram and our Facebook page at Foodie Call Pod. We're very active on there. We're always sharing photos with our guests. Omar, do you really quickly want to explain why you're a gambler before I introduce our guests?
I was in Las Vegas the past couple days for work, and I took $50 and turned it into $130. So Any listeners want to send me your money, I can triple it, guaranteed.
Oh, my God. We're going to get rich off of your gambling scheme.
Yeah, my get-rich-quick scheme.
Well, Omi, I am so excited. This week is a super extra special episode because not only do we have two guests instead of just one, but they're in studio with us right now for the entire episode. Normally, it's just you and me for this part.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to say we have the authors of the brand new OMG, You All Need This to Live, Eat, and Get Your Life Together cookbook, The Hot Mess Kitchen. One of these brilliant women is a writer on The Mini Project, and the other has a show inspired by her life on Freeform called Young and Hungry. Basically, they're living their best life, and I could not be more jealous, but also so excited to have them in the studio. Welcome, Gabby Moskowitz and Miranda Berman.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for joining us. We are so excited to have you. Before we dive into talking about the Hot Mess Cookbook, I want to pry into your lives. We always start each episode where we talk about a sweet and sour moment. So,
oh, can I ask a question before we go ahead?
Yeah. Sure.
Are you in like any danger of becoming a gambling addict?
No. I'm okay. I knew when to stop and like walk away. My coworker though went with me, and like the same night, last night, I started with 50 at the roulette table. He started with 100. He lost all his money, went to blackjack, lost another 100, and then lost 200 on slots. How do you lose more on slots than...
He lost $200 on slots?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Wait a second. Was this in Las Vegas?
Or did you
didn't come back and find like an underground LA?
No. Okay, although those do exist. Have you heard about that Thai restaurant one on like... on Normandy, I think, and they're like after hours, and then they do poker at 5 a.m.
I've definitely heard about that. No, I haven't heard about that.
Oh, okay. He just informed me. Omar has like a secret life when I go to bed at night because comedians don't go out until the sun goes down.
Yeah, I'm like a cockroach.
Yes, exactly. And then you go to these CD places with friends who I haven't met,
and
you say you're networking.
No, I don't gamble.
But it's really like they're at a Thai restaurant at 4 a.m. gambling.
Singing karaoke. I've never seen the gambling, but I've sung. I haven't sung karaoke either, but I've seen the karaoke being sung.
Okay, so you're in the danger of becoming. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yeah.
It's a slippery slope, and I'm on it.
You're a good candidate.
Yeah, yeah,
I can tell there's something about you.
Yeah.
I kind of am okay with that, though. I feel like it would make Omar a little sexier if he had a problem. You're such a nice guy, and I need something to fix
problems.
You. Yeah,
everyone should have one terrible vice. Yes. Yeah.
What is yours?
Pills, I don't know. I'm being fully honest. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's like very white and obvious.
It's Advil. No. It's not even like that.
It's not.
Well, I revealed mine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we always go and say our sweet and sour moment of the week. I feel like Omar just gave his, but who knows? Maybe he'll surprise me with another one.
I'm a wild
but
card.
I would love to ask you two, what are your sweet and sour moments of the week? If you need time to think, we can go, but also guests first.
Yeah. Okay, well, I would say my sweetest moment of the week was, you know, waking up yesterday and seeing so many tweets and seeing how excited people were already getting excited about the book, and then just like going to the our Amazon page and seeing like, it no longer says this is available for pre-sale, and just like really letting that sink in. And feeling like and followed promptly by being at the airport this morning and seeing our book in an airport bookstore.
Ooh. Already?
It was a big deal.
That's exciting.
It's really hard to get into airport bookstores, so I was so excited. So that was like sort of my collective sweet moment.
Congrats.
Thank you. And then I think my sour moment was I made a smoothie a couple days ago. And I knocked the entire thing over. And cleaning green smoothie off of a carpet.
Oh, God.
It's just, it's not easy.
Just get rid of the carpet. Tear it out.
Just move. Yeah.
Miranda, you're thinking hard.
I'm thinking about my sour moment because I feel like there should be one, but I just like have tons of bad stuff all the time. I don't know.
It's hard to pick just one.
It's hard to pick just one when you dramatize everything. No. My sweet moment was obviously, I agree with Gabby, the book coming out yesterday. It was so exciting and people were so excited about it. And my mom called me this morning and she said, she was like, you know, it's actually really good.
She was surprised.
She was like, you know, you have something here. And I trust her. And when she says that, I was like, okay, we have something here. Thanks,
Mom.
Something. So that was my sweet moment. In addition to the book coming out and also the Mindy Project premiered last night. So it was a real big day for me.
Very big week for
me.
Yeah.
It was a really big week
Very
for me.
Sweet week.
Indeed.
But bittersweet because this is the final season,
yeah,
right?
So there is a sour in it all is that, yeah, and this was my first job in LA. So I was Mindy's assistant and I worked my way up. So, yeah, it'll be really sad to see everyone go. It's been, like, my family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll be super, super sad. But sour moment, I was sick. I had bronchitis. And, okay, this is a sour moment. This is going to make me seem like a drug addict because now all I've talked about is drugs. But I was so excited because they gave me, like, cough syrup with codeine in it. And I was like, this is going to be the
Booty call.
Best.
Was it?
No. I couldn't get it anywhere. That, like, I would be like, hey, here's my cough syrup with codeine, prescription. And nobody had it.
Oh, no.
It was real
So
bad.
That you never got the
I
codeine?
I never got the codeine.
Oh, man.
In Los Angeles, you couldn't find
the
drugs.
Thai places.
Well, here's the thing is that I wanted instant gratification. They were like, you could leave it here and we'll get it in 2 days. And I was like, mm-mm. No, I need it now. Because I've been thinking about it for a couple of minutes. So,
I'm so sorry.
That was a sour. Also, being sick really sucks. It's boring.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated when people are sick in LA. Because once I moved here, I stopped getting sick. And it's like, it's not ever cold here. And I always thought winter is what makes people sick.
Because you came here from
Wisconsin, where people are always sick and dying and cold.
Because when they're not outside in the freezing cold, they're huddled in a room together.
Yes.
And yeah. So
yeah. It's a lot of family bonding time in the Midwest.
You're less frail than us. Coasties, although I'm not from the coast.
But I like Coasties. Yeah. That's a good one. I'm going to start calling myself.
Have you not heard that term? Because no. We used it in college all the time.
I never heard that term. I'm definitely a Coastie.
It's a Midwest
insult.
Nasty term. Legitimately, we would like... So I went to a small college in Wisconsin, but the big University of Wisconsin, there was always like the rich girls from L.A. or New York, and we would call them Coasties. And I was 100% jealous of their lives, so... Whatever.
I think it's cool.
It actually does sound kind of cool.
Coastie. Okay.
Wow. You're from New York, so now you're a coastie.
She's a bi-coastie.
Bi-coastie.
So.
That sounds even cooler. Oh, I guess then you're from San Francisco. So
yeah.
Coasties. You know. But I like you both.
Well, I guess the dream for me is to be bi-coastie, right? To be rich enough to have both.
Yeah.
There you are. And you get codeine prescribed to you. What a dream.
Well, I'm not bi-coastie yet. I'm hoping.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're on the trajectory.
I feel
trajectory.
It's coming.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Omar, what was your sweet and sour moment of the week?
So my sweet moment of the week was for all my tens of fans, mom, I got accepted into the CBS Diversity Sketch Comedy Showcase.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. And so we just had the first 2 days of like a boot camp on Thursday and Friday. And so just like meeting a bunch of the other writers, and I just felt like school again. And like I was always like a nerd who was really excited for school. So like I had a brand new notebook and I pulled it out and was writing, taking down notes with a pencil. And I just felt like such a nerd and I loved it.
That's so fun.
But like a lot of the other writers are really cool. They're super nice and really funny. So I'm excited to like get to know them more and like collab, get a little collab going, write some stuff together.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Sour moment was on Friday, our building manager told us that the water was going to be shut off, and he gave like a really large window, like too large for a water shut off. He said it was going to be anywhere between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. And so at 9 a.m., I like tested it, and it was still working. So I was like, all right. And I did normal stuff, like I washed dishes or whatever. And then just like an hour later, I went to use the restroom, and then I flushed. And luckily, it still flushed. Sorry, this might be TMI.
Just flood our apartment when I wasn't there.
Yeah,
like, what?
And then cleaned it. Yeah, it was harder than cleaning a green smoothie on carpet. No. It just like that flushed, so like it didn't even like it didn't throw me off. But then I put soap in my hand and then turned on the faucet, and it's just like, and then nothing. And then I was like, soapy hands. But luckily, I had those like cups of water that I set aside to water our one still live plant in the apartment, and I used that to wash my hands.
All of our plants are so dead.
So dead.
Our apartment looks like a funeral
home for
plants.
Yeah, plants.
And it's really embarrassing. We really need to get rid of them.
I have the same thing. Don't worry. I've killed like three cactuses.
I don't understand. Yeah. Our bamboo is dying, and I do what the internet says, which is leave it alone.
Happens, I guess.
I don't get it. Smog? I assume like the smog is killing it or something.
Yeah,
I'll
blame the coast.
I know it's
it's a coasty plant.
It's a coasty plant.
What are you doing to your plants? Like,
they dying? Don't pay attention, I guess. I don't know. Like, when I had goldfish growing up, they would always die. Like, I just.
Because you didn't pay attention.
I just am not doing whatever. I just think I'm cursed. Yeah. Things aren't going to work for me.
I feel like plants, like, if you're over-attentive, they die. If you overwater them, they die. If you underwater them, they die. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know what you want from me.
They need just the right amount of love.
Well, anyway, my sweet moment was I was in New York City this week. Are you from the city or upstate?
I'm from the city.
What part?
I grew up on the Upper West Side.
That's where I was staying.
Fantastic.
It was four people in basically a studio apartment, so it was problematic at times. Cozy is an optimistic way to say it. But I went to my friend Christina's wedding, and she's Greek, and her grandfather doesn't speak any English, and I learned a Greek sentence so I could talk to him, and he kissed my hand like three times, and I was like, goodbye, Omar. I said, Yasu Papu Tikanis, which means, hi, Grandpa, how are you?
Yeah.
And then I just said it over and over and over. I don't know if he answered.
Did you try those phrases I told you? Or you forgot.
Yeah. Shpira nikta or
Gali
whatever.
Nikta.
Gali nikta means good night.
Yeah.
I think he might not have heard me, to be honest. I was also very intoxicated.
Was it like my big fat Greek wedding?
Kind of. With all the... Well, there wasn't a ton of family. I was expecting it to be like 800 people, but lots of Greek dancing, which I was all about. And I was the person who was like yelling Opa at weird times.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Like, they seemed very supportive of it. But again, I was very intoxicated. So that might not have been the case. And somebody made a Windex joke during the speeches. So I was like, I felt like I was in on a joke because I saw my big fat Greek wedding. So I was like, I get it.
Put some Windex.
Greek. Yes, exactly.
What was the Italian side like? Cause, so her husband, he's Italian.
Italian guy from Staten Island. Yeah. And he's like a bodybuilder. And he looks like if a Lego was a human.
Yeah.
Like, he's got like the really dramatic like eyebrows. And he's just like,
he looks like a Lego person as a human.
Yes. Yeah. With giant muscles.
Or like Lou Ferrigno.
There weren't that many like Italian people, but they all had like Staten Island accents. And I just really couldn't tell who was on what side, to be honest.
Fair.
So, except obviously the people who didn't speak English, I was like, Greek. Christina's side. My sour moment is that I ate a lot of really great food in New York and now I feel like garbage. But it's fine.
Well,
I'll just go back to being my friend.
Sour is in the eye of the beholder. That would be a sweet moment for a lot of people.
I ate great food, but the sour moment was I feel like garbage.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, I want to move on to our next segment so we can talk to our guests. But Almar has, this is his time to shine. Every week, we get grocery flyers in the mail that I'm sure end up in your recycling bins or piled up on your table with the rest of your mail for weeks at a time. But for Omar, this is his favorite moment of the week. He is digging through the grocery flyers for deals and steals. So everybody throw away your grocery flyers and let Omi do the work for you. Miranda, Gabby, kick back and get ready to hear some deals
please,
and steals.
Please bear with me. This is our lowest rated segment of our podcast. The most boring. But maybe, I mean, you guys just wrote a cookbook, so maybe you can tell me if these are indeed good deals. So I always go to Sprouts. I always look at Sprouts because, A,
I love
they
Sprouts.
Give us grocery flyers. Ralph's, for some reason, stopped giving us grocery flyers. I can't find a Whole Foods grocery flyer for the life of me.
Ralph's
maybe on Amazon now.
Yeah.
And then any other store. I brought in a Smart and Final, too. But the deals are 77 cents a pound for grapes. It's pretty good, right? Mm-hmm.
I like that you're looking for validation. Yeah, well, from Gabby.
Oh, you're asking.
Yeah, well, what if,
I feel like Gabby should give you validation. Yes,
I think
no,
so. Right?
Well, I mean, my whole.
You can also tell us if it's better or worse than the Bay.
Okay, so the thing is, you usually buy about 2 pounds of grapes.
Yeah.
Each time, 2 to 3 pounds. So, depending on how much you like grapes, you're looking at like $1.50.
$1.55.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought so. Mm-hmm. Okay, how about this? 2 pounds of pears for $1, so 50 cents a pound.
Yeah, but pears are heavy, so it's not that many pears.
That's true, but it's better than the peaches, which are 98 cents a pound. So they're almost they're half the price.
Yeah. Peaches are heavy, too.
That's true. All right, two things of celery for $1. 50 cents each for a stock, or whatever you call it. Here's the thing,
that's a lot of celery. So you can't buy that unless you can commit to celery, like a lot of celery daily for a few days in a row.
Make a lot of soups or something.
Okay, how about this? Cage-free omega-3 eggs, 2 for $5.
I really want to believe in this deal.
I know. What if Sprouts is just like telling me what they normally cost, but like in a flyer form, and I'm like, oh, that's a special.
That's what they do.
Yeah. But cage-free is kind of baloney. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you want like free range.
You really want pastured. At least you want vegetarian fed. Mm-hmm. Cage-free is sort of like, if you're buying caged eggs, like what is wrong with you? Cage-free is like the minimum of what it should be.
Yeah.
So if you're having a ton of people over and you need to make a shitload of frittata, then maybe that's a good deal.
Okay. All right. What about all natural, boneless, skinless chicken breasts? And granted, it's an all natural, so you'll probably talk shit about that thing too, as opposed to like it's not organic.
I
it's $1.99 a pound.
I also feel the same way about when people say farm eggs.
It's time for a food call.
They might be from a factory farm.
Yeah. But is the all natural a label for chicken, does that do anything? Or is that just like another cop-out?
I'd be more excited about chicken thighs, but... Mm.
They normally have chicken thighs, but this week it's chicken breasts. $1.99 a pound. Yeah.
What do you think, Miranda?
Chicken breasts, I would rather spend more on a chicken breast and it'd be better. I don't know. That doesn't look good to me.
Okay. All right.
That looks bad.
All right. Last one. A whole chicken, organic whole chicken, okay. $2.99 a pound.
Okay. Here's the thing. Your average roasting chicken is like 6 pounds.
Okay.
Maybe 4 or 5, like a small one.
Yeah.
So
it's like a $15, $18 chicken.
Still, it's a lot of money for, I mean, it's, you should spend that for a whole chicken that you're going to feed 4 to 6 people with.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a good deal, I'd say. It's a good deal. It's, but it's not,
it's
you
not
know,
a great
they,
deal.
They kind of trick you because they're like, it's only this much per pound.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like they're putting good deals next to just deals.
Right.
Just things that are, would be anyway, so you believe that they're good deals, but they're just what you would pay regardless.
Yeah. All
right. They're just, maybe they're just printing their prices in a newspaper.
I think that's what they do.
Also, are you, here's the thing. You look at the Smart and Final ad every week, and we do.
And
not
we never
shop
go
there.
I just like to look at it. I, just,
well, you
I don't
have
know.
His
I like
podcast,
to compare.
It's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
He does this outside of the show.
Yeah, no, this is. It became a segment because I do it so much.
Smart and Final is great if you're throwing a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's usually when we do buy stuff.
Yeah.
What is your grocery store of choice, each of you?
I go to like 7 grocery stores, but I always go to Trader Joe's. I live really near this great grocery store called in San Francisco called Duck Loy. That's kind of like one part Asian and Latin specialty foods, but then they also have a bunch of organic vegetables because anyone who shops at Trader Joe's knows that that is not where they excel. for sure those two places, and then I usually hit Whole Foods or like there are a few other stores in my neighborhood that are kind of similar to Whole Foods. But I grocery – I mean, I write about food for a living, so I go to the grocery store constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Whole Foods Amazon acquisition?
I think my biggest concern is how it's going to affect farmers. And
that's the right answer.
Yeah. That's how you get votes in middle America.
That's the right answer.
Well, that or you just say a bunch of racist shit. I'm concerned about that because Whole Foods has been actually a pretty great store for farmers to work with. And Amazon has this history that we as consumers love because they drive the prices down.
Right.
But farmers who have been selling so much of their goods, so many of their goods to Whole Foods are now going to be in a position where they have to accept less money. And so I'm hopeful that it won't be as bad as I'm imagining it will be. So, but I don't know.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
I do my regular shopping at Ralph's. I live on Sunset, so I go to Rock and Roll Ralph's.
Okay.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Los Angelinos are listening.
It's painted on the window outside of it, right?
But then I supplement with like meats and things like that. I will go to the Whole Foods or like, this is a little bougie, but I'll go to Bristol Farms.
Ooh.
Sunset and Fairfax.
They have lots of good samples there.
Yeah.
The cheeses.
For like meats or if I have friends over, I'll go somewhere fancier for the meats. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love Frise lettuce, and Bristol Farms is the only place that has Frise lettuce in like all of Los Angeles. It's not a thing that is sold in Los Angeles. I don't know why.
You're right. I only see it at like when I am at a restaurant.
It's not a thing that's available in LA.
What do you do with it? Because I feel like it has no flavor. It's just like fun to look at.
It's super bitter.
Yeah.
But you fry lardons. You fry some bacon cubes and toss it with the warm fat and also the like cubes of bacon. And then what else do you do for dressing?
Well, I use white balsamic vinegar and a little bit of olive oil and just some lemon and some mustard and just toss it all in.
Very French.
Very French. And if I feel up to it, poach an egg. But I'm just like really love frise. So
wow, we're going to Bristol Farms.
I sound so bougie. Cody Hills, Bristol Farms.
Can you repeat while I
I'm very
drop
jealous
this down?
Of your life.
No, my life is not good.
Once you're bi-coastal, then it will be
right. So,
so I want to talk about your cookbook, the Hot Mess Cookbook. Congratulations, it's out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What inspired you two to write a cookbook together?
Well.
It sort of happened.
Yes. We met on BJ Novak a couple of years ago, started this app called the List app, which is now called just List, L-I.S-T. But in the beta version of it, it was just like a bunch of comedy writers, and Gabby was like the preeminent food writer in this beta version. So she was kind of famous.
It was great.
Yeah.
By process of elimination, I was the most famous food person.
You are famous on it.
Well, there's literally like 30 people on at this point, and everyone was just like really oversharing. And Gabby used to and even in today's standards of oversharing, it was like, okay, guys, come on. But Gabby would post recipes on there all the time, and so I started to request recipe lists from Gabby that were like pertinent to my life. So I'd be like, easiest home cooked meal. The first one was easiest home cooked meal to trick a guy into falling in love with you, and then like ones that were like that from there. And then Gabby reached out to me and was like, these titles are good. We should work on something together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of, well, we were like, I was kind of kidding
you
at first.
Kidding.
I was like, what if there was a book where you wrote the titles and I wrote the recipes? And you were like, actually.
I was like, actually, I don't have a job right now.
And we, what's one thing that I'm really proud of is that we, I mean, I live in San Francisco and Miranda lives in LA, and we managed to sell the book. Like, we got an agent and managed to sell the book to a publishing house without ever meeting in person.
Really?
And we hate each other.
The wonders of the internet.
Miranda is squeezing my knee really hard right now.
We get along really well. It's super lucky.
Yeah, it turned out really well. So
that's
yeah.
awesome. The thing that I love about the cookbook is from beginning to end, you walk us through like, this is what your pantry needs. These are the basics on how to do X, Y, and Z. Oh, and by the way, if you want Omar to propose, make this chicken.
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's like, after we initially had this idea, we sort of like delved into what we really wanted it to be. And we wanted to like reach people like us. Like, I didn't fully know how to cook. I was learning, but I knew I wanted to. And what recipes would people like me want to cook? And
I'm really passionate about food education, especially for our generation. I'm, by the way, you're all at least 5 years younger than me, but I'm putting myself in your generation. So, because it's just us. We're just a bunch of cool millennials.
Yeah.
Well, you Snapchat all the time, right?
That's what cool millennials say. We're all just a bunch of cool millennials.
Millennials are killing the phrase cool millennials.
I know. With avocado toast.
Yeah.
So I'm really passionate about teaching our collective generation and then like people younger than us and older than us, like who don't feel empowered in the kitchen, to feel comfortable. And what, like, one thing that was really great about us working together is Miranda is so funny and it really understands comedy. And the book is definitely a guide for cooking, but it's full of really fun and funny stories. And so we're hoping that, like, maybe if you're like kind of intimidated by food, you might pick it up because we look crazy on the cover and then flip through and maybe you'll like the stories. And then once you're done with those, maybe you'll flip to the front and read a little bit about how to stock your pantry, and maybe you'll go to the grocery store, and then maybe you'll make the easiest roast chicken to trick a guy into falling in love with you.
Right. Like, the titles are all things that, like, definitely are happening to the people reading this book. So it's like a call to action. Yeah, like, I should cook. I'm creating a relationship in my mind. I don't know. Like, that's like, we have creating a relationship in my mind cupcakes. Like, that kind of thing.
Who hasn't created a relationship in their mind?
Or, you know, all sorts of
me on a daily basis. So, what is your favorite recipe in the book?
You want to go first?
Yeah. Well, the one that I'm most partial to isn't necessarily – I mean, I don't play favorites with recipes. I have usually a rotation as far as – I mean, like, I cook pretty much every night, and I have a rotation of things I'm excited about. And then, you know, I have some special occasion recipes. But I also, because I write recipes, I have a relationship with, like, the actual process. And I think one that I'm really proud of and that I really hope people get into is It's called Basically Carbless, Not That We Care, Cauliflower Crust Pizza. And there's a lot of cauliflower crust pizza out there, and there's a lot of bad cauliflower crust pizza out there, and a lot of – like, and this pizza, I really feel, gets the job done.
It's so good, guys.
It's really good.
What makes your cauliflower crust pizza different than others out there?
You know, it's because I don't screw around with, like, almond flour or – I mean, I – will screw around with almond flour in my life, but like with this recipe, I'm not trying. I'm. It's the crust is just rice, cauliflower, egg, grated Parmesan, a little olive oil, and some salt. So there's that. Like, so you're getting pizza flavors with the Parm and the olive oil and the salt that you don't really notice the cauliflower and all of the sort of like. Bitter tang in cauliflower cooks out of it when it gets crispy and just becomes like a great crust. And it's also sturdy enough to really hold toppings, which is really important. And I'm not shy with olive oil. And so you get this really beautiful golden brown crust. And I'm really proud of how we shot it with our photographer in the book because we've got step-by-step process. You can actually look at what it looks like. And we created a video that it's on our Instagram. We did one of those like tasty style videos, so you can really wrap your head around it if you want to spend some time with that recipe.
Nice. Cool.
That's a great thing about our book is those process shots, because that's like the thing that's intimidating about cooking. You're like, oh, but I did the wrong thing, and now it's all over.
Right.
I'm done. But like we're like, no, just follow the pictures.
You're holding our hand the whole way.
That's
through.
What it's supposed to be like. Yeah, exactly.
So, Miranda, were you into cooking at all before you met Gabby and started
I had started cooking. That's why I was requesting those recipes, because I was really making them. And so I had begun cooking, but I've obviously gotten much better while we were doing this. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite from the book?
You know, I have a couple favorites. I'm going to do a different one than I've done on other interviews. Sure. I like the chicken legs recipe.
Mm.
What do we call it? Chicken legs and a free trip to Paris?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. With the sweet potatoes and the kale.
Yeah. It's so good. First of all, so easy to make. It's just like chicken. If you get really big chicken legs and put them in a cast iron skillet.
Yum.
It's so delicious. And I don't know. For some reason, they feel French to me. And I like an atmosphere with my food. Even if it's just me by myself, I want to make a little story for the night. I'm like, okay, I'm at home. I'm having this. But really, I'm here. You know what? In the Cinderella musical, you're going to know about this.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Yeah.
It's very, like, rustic French countryside.
Yeah, but you know, she says she's like, in my own little corner, in my own little chair, I can be wherever I want to be. This is very cool right now when I'm doing sort of like that for cooking with me. I'm like, okay, I'm making this. I'm in my own little corner, but where am I?
Such a writer answer. What's the narrative behind this meal?
Yeah, truly. But also invoking Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. So,
But I like that because a lot of people our age are usually just cooking for one or two.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that I talk to that don't – they say they don't like to cook or whatever. They're like, ugh, cooking for one is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's good to be able to have something that you can go to that you know – like you are worthy of having a good meal just with yourself. You don't need an occasion. You don't need a date. Or a person with you to make a good meal.
That's like the thesis of our book.
Absolutely.
Is like, take care of yourself. Like, you deserve to cook even if, like, your life is a mess.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you deserve a good meal, and the time that you spend doing it should be pleasurable.
Yeah.
Can you both tell me about a hot mess moment that you have each had? It doesn't have to be cooking.
I've been asked that so many times.
I thought it was so original.
No. It's not. I'm not criticizing that. It's just funny because to think about that so often.
Sure. And relive it.
That's not in the book.
The hottest, messiest.
We put an awful lot of them in the book.
The hottest, messiest moment.
Let's see. Okay. Here's a good one. I was in high school, so I guess that's a little young for being a hot mess. But this is one of the this is probably like the weirdest, craziest, most hot mess thing I've ever done. I was at a party, and this guy that I'd been in love with all throughout high school, this guy Travis, who will never in a million years listen to this, which is not a reflection on your podcast.
No, now I'm going to find him. Send him a link.
Just Facebook friend request every Travis.
All the Travises.
So he...
it's a great high school crush name, Travis.
Yeah, Travis. I'll tell you his last name later because it adds to the, adds to the intrigue. So Travis had this... Travis, like, had no idea I was alive. And it was senior year. And he said to me, we were, like, kind of drunk at a party. I had had, by the way, like, an entire bottle of Manischewitz wine that I stole from my parents. Because we're Jewish. And so Travis said to me, you know what's great about you, Gabby? I was like, what? And he goes, you are so predictable. I always know exactly what you're going to do. You are, like, we were about to graduate. And he was like, you're going to go to college and you're going to be successful and you're going to, like, meet some nice guy and you're just going to have this nice, like, normal life. Which, you know, a few years later would have been a really cool thing to hear. But at the time, I was like, what? Like, I wanted him to think I was bad and exciting and cool and sexy. And I was like, thanks. And 10 minutes later, that song, you guys were all probably in, like, sixth grade when this came out. But do you remember that song? A Little Bit of Monica.
Mambo Number Five?
Yeah. So that came on. And we were in this, like, backyard. And I stood up on a picnic table. And I took all my clothes off. What?
What a reaction.
I am not predictable, Travis.
But also, like, what a nice thing of Travis to say. Well, not that being predictable, but, like, telling you that you're going to have a nice life. That's, like, a nice – I imagine he was trying to be, like, wishing you a nice life.
Yeah.
You still don't feel good about that, do you?
No.
Did you talk to Travis after that? Or did he come up to you and
be
like,
what did he do when you touché. Were just naked on a table?
He was like, I don't know. I think afterwards he was like, well, that was something. And I was like, yeah, I'm not predictable.
I imagine when the song ends and then you're just standing there on a table naked, it felt kind of weird.
Yeah. And I just, yeah, it was like a stripper at the end of her set. I just, is that what they call them? The set? I don't know.
Yes. Probably. Tight five.
Climbed down and put my shirt back on. Everyone was like, whoa, what did Gabby just do?
Good for you, though.
Yeah.
Getting nude in public. Everybody should try it.
Everyone should do that. So a story that's not in the book. Okay. Recently, this is. Can we get this? I'm gonna not use this story.
You can give us a different story. You can give us a story from the book.
No, I'm just thinking. Sorry.
It's fine. I'll give an example of when I was a hot mess. While you think. I mean, many times.
Strap in.
I was in a sorority in college, and we had a naughty or nice social, which was right before Christmas. And this was their opportunity to wear the slutty Santa dress that, like, what's-her-face, Lindsay Lohan wore in Mean Girls. But I was going to be ironic about it. And so I, like, got some, like, mom jeans and, like, a snowflake turtleneck and some sort of weird vest. And I just got really blackout drunk and I, like, got in trouble for molesting a bunch of dudes. And then I took my pants off in my dorm and I just walked around without pants on, according to...
Okay. What was Mama Number Five playing?
That's a great question.
I don't know.
If we're going to do some college ones, here we go. And I was a freshman, and there was a senior in college, and all my group of friends were, like, obsessed with him. His name was Mickey. And you know you have, like, collective crushes when you're young? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, we all love him. Whoever actually gets him, we're happy for you. So we all would talk about him all the time. And then the one day we finally, like, came into contact with him. And somebody screamed, Mickey! And he came over the street. And this was the one night where I didn't drink. I was like, I'm not drinking tonight. I'm taking it easy. And he came over. We're standing in a circle around him. Or he's in our circle. And one person starts talking to him. And then everyone just starts laughing. Like, laughing completely. Nobody can answer Mickey. I start peeing. And I don't mean, like, a little pee. I mean, like... going for it. Like, cannot control it. Like,
you're sober?
Sober. Wow. Hitting the pavement loud pee. And so I fall to the ground because I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't want anyone to see this. But, like, there's a puddle around me. So I squatted. And then I was like, I got to get out of here. What do I do? So I ran around the corner. I hailed a cab. And I was like, guys, I'm getting. Do you want to come with me and get in the cab? We're going now. And they're like, no, we're going to stay here and hang out. And Mickey's like, is there something wrong with your friend? Is she stoned? I'm like, no, I'm sober. I'm fine. Nobody wants to get in the cab with me. I don't want to go home by myself. So I run around the corner, take a deep breath, dry off, drip dry off. Come back. And I'm just like, hey, guys, what's up? Still a puddle, but I don't stand in the
Were
puddle.
You wearing a skirt?
I was wearing a skirt, Gabby. Oh,
okay. Okay. It's easier to pee publicly that way.
Yeah, yeah. I figured. So there wasn't like, yeah, no. So it looked fine.
I feel like both of those are actually not bad.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad. Yeah.
Those are very tame hot mess moments. I could tell. So good for you.
Warm messes.
Both of you, yeah.
Yeah, my worst, I've, you know, like all of the things have happened. I don't know. Yeah.
And they're all in the book. Everybody will have to get the book to hear the rest of the hot mess stories. Okay. Gabby, this one I guess is more for you. How do you create a recipe?
It's a great question. I get inspired by various different things. Often something I'm eating in a restaurant. Often there will be like a trend that people are excited about. And I have this recipe. We actually have sort of a version of it in the book. But I put this recipe on my website a few years ago and it went kind of viral because I was like, stop spending $5 for a pumpkin spice latte at, Starbucks or wherever, make them at home. It's really easy to do. And so that's one thing I get excited about is like, how can you DIY something that you feel like you can only, we have actually a whole, section of our book that's take out, you can make it home. It's called,
Deliver Us from Delivery.
That's cute. And so that's one thing. Sometimes it's just like I'll be excited about something at the farmer's market. And, you know, at this point I've been cooking for so long that I just start to put things together in my mind. But I always try to look at it through a lens of what is the average cook who maybe isn't that confident in the kitchen going to have on hand? What ingredients are accessible to them? Where, you know, can they get them at Sprouts? Can they get them at, you know, Vons or Ralph's or Safeway or Trader Joe's? And then, you know, are they relatively inexpensive? And then my techniques need to be really straightforward and approachable. So I just kind of do that alchemy in my mind. And then I write it all down. And I test it a few times. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. I normally play a game with our guests. And I thought we weren't going to have time, but I guess this isn't even really a game. This is more just a question. I want to think of chefs, like famous chefs, and I want them to say whether or not they're hot or not.
Okay.
Okay, Guy Fieri.
Hot or not.
Like, is he hot or not?
He's not hot. But
and this doesn't have to be physical. You could be into him just by the way he cooks or whatever.
You could be into his personality.
Got it. Yeah. I'm more of a sapiosexual anyway.
Sure, yeah.
What that's do you have the to right one, right? That when
that's
you,
when you like smart people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
Guy is clearly very smart.
How? Okay. No, he's not hot. But there's a great comedy bit. Really got some circulation recently. I can't remember the guy's name, but if you Google, like, what did Guy Fieri ever do to you? So the thing is, like, he's cheesy, he's corny, and his stuff is, like, ridiculous. He has donkey sauce, whatever that is.
Right.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
But, like,
I don't know,
if you watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, he is so enthusiastic. He goes around to these small businesses and builds people up. He's so... I don't know him personally at all. He's actually from my hometown.
Oh, really?
But little fun trivia for you. Gabby Moskowitz trivia or Guy Fieri trivia.
What is the town?
Santa Rosa, California.
Wow. The more you know.
Yeah. But, I don't think he's hot, but I also think it's important that we all question why we hate him so much.
Good for him.
That I think it's the hair.
Yeah. I think it's because his hair looks like those things that you buy like at Six Flags where it's like the fake
attached to a visor.
Yes, exactly. What came first, Guy Fieri's hair or the fake hair that you buy at Six Flags?
Probably the fake hair you buy at Six Flags. I don't know.
Who knows?
And he just modeled his hair after that. Yeah.
Maybe. Gordon Ramsay.
Kind of hot.
Kind of hot and like a angry professor.
Yeah, kind of hot and like, yeah, why not?
Have you seen his new show, The F Word?
No.
No.
Okay, he's like not angry on it. So it's like a new side of Gordon.
Okay. So maybe
he got like
a
therapist or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, I don't know.
He also hosts that show with the kids. And he's like, nice.
Hell's Kitchen for Kids or something.
I don't think that's what it's called, but yes.
But there is one that's
somebody
like,
make that show.
It's like Top Chef Junior, Master Chef Junior or something. Yeah. And then the kids are crying, and he's like, don't cry. And it's like, wait, what's happening here? You're supposed to be mean. And then the last one, and I'm blanking on his name, and I feel like an idiot right now.
Emeril Lagasse?
No. Actually, yes, Emeril, hot or not.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No.
He's not even around anymore, is he?
No.
Does he do anything?
Maybe he does.
No. He's like gingery.
Give us more.
The grill guy? What's his name?
Isn't it like Tyler something?
Tyler
Florence. Yes.
I don't know
hot or not, Tyler Florence.
Yeah.
He's just a guy.
So not.
I feel like 8 years ago.
Worst game
Tyler
ever.
No more. Give us more. It's fun.
I'm trying to remember, and I'm kicking myself that I didn't Google more.
Bobby Flay.
That's who I was thinking of.
I think Bobby Flay's hot.
He is kind of hot.
What about Anthony Bourdain?
I was gonna say. I was hoping someone would say Anthony Bourdain. Anthony Bourdain is hot.
Is he hot because he's angry and, like, we're into that?
Yeah.
And by women, women?
He doesn't really do it for me, but I know he does it for a lot of people.
I don't know why, but I'm into it as well. He goes against everything. He's, like, kind of irritated in, like, a sexy way.
You would, like, be happy if he liked you because it meant something. You could prove something to yourself.
Right, yes. He doesn't like a lot of people.
Yes, exactly. He seems like, you know, he's, like, kind of like the cool guy chain smoker that'll like make you a really good steak when he's like frustrated.
Yeah.
Probably not boyfriend.
No.
Are there any female famous chefs?
Giada De Laurentiis.
Yeah, but like obviously Giada is hot.
Mm-hmm. Martha Stewart.
I think Martha Stewart is a very nice looking woman.
She's beautiful. She used to be a model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I recently read an interview with her that made me wish I had her life. It was an interview in the car.
You wanted Martha Stewart's life?
Yeah, post-jail. Post-jail, not prison, Martha's life. Which, by the way, I'm fascinated that so many people still love her, considering, like, she's like a convict. Like, I feel like a lot of people turn their backs on people that go to jail.
Best friends with Snoop.
Friends with Snoop. She probably is a great publicist. Right. She also once tried to run somebody over with her car. We all, like, tried to.
We've all been there.
Did she actually run him over?
I have never heard about this.
Oh, really? Yeah, it was, years ago, and I can't remember. It really was a thing. It was like
good,
she had like.
I don't want to get sued by
anger.
Martha Stewart's people. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, she's our best listener.
You know who I think is beautiful and funny and talented and awesome is Alex Guarnaschelli.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
She's a host, or she's a judge on Chopped. She owns a restaurant called Butter in New York.
Oh,
she's super cool.
What about who's the one who hosted? Top Chef or something?
You mean like Padma?
Padma.
Padma Lakshmi? Lakshmi?
Is she, but is she a chef though? That's
no,
what I was going to ask.
Like
she's just like a. Okay.
Yeah, she's a personality. But I do think that she went to culinary school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think she probably can hold her own.
All right.
She's not a chef? What's her deal then?
Nigella is a chef.
Padma Lakshmi was married to
someone.
To like a famous Indian author. What is his name?
Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie.
I had no idea. I thought she was a chef, and that was her claim to fame.
Well, I think that she knows what she's doing.
Sure.
I don't know if she, like, works in a restaurant.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I would still let her feed me and tell me what to
do. Some food celebs. Eric Wareheim. I think he's a food celeb now.
Yes. I'm going to count him as food celeb. Eric is
from Master of None.
Yeah.
He loves Eric. Arthur, what's his name in the show? Arthur?
Yeah, but he's, like, always.
He's Eric from Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
For that matter.
He's not hot, but he.
Aziz Ansari is a food celebrity now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
For some reason, I'm into Aziz, and he's like a foot shorter than me. But I think he's just like, meh.
Randy.
And he likes pasta. And he
doesn't like pasta. I've derailed this. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, now I'm really excited.
I know.
Thinking about pivot. Aziz and
podcasts
Eric.
Podcasts are really linear, and you have to stick to the form. I understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at this point, we're just going to scrap this episode.
I derailed this interview hours ago. Okay.
Rick Bayless. Sorry. The last one I could think of.
Weren't we talking about Rick Bayless recently and how he's
Maybe,
an asshole?
Is he?
No, there was like article about how he's a jerk?
I love him.
There...
He needs to stop talking about reverse racism.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was about like...
Is it because he has a Mexican restaurant and people...
Yeah, well,
like...
it's like he's built his whole like fortune on Mexican cuisine, right? Mexican mm-hmm. cooking. And then so now the big thing is white people can't cook ethnic food. And then people in Portland get mad and boycott restaurants. And then he wrote an article that was like, no, it's fine. And I don't know, I guess something about reverse racism.
He has done his homework. He really knows. Like, he's spent years in Mexico studying. I think I have a lot of feelings about food, cultural appropriation. And I think that it's a slippery slope and it's really tricky. I think the main thing, though, is when you take a cuisine and make it – and it's not your people's cuisine, you have to give a lot of credit to the people that it's from. And he
sure.
does that.
Yeah.
But then when he gets flack, he blames it on reverse racism. And, like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is his argument just like –
He's like,
I'm catching flack because I'm white and
yeah.
I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. And instead, what he should do is say, you know, is understand why people feel that way and mm-hmm. then spend time building up the people of color who have helped him make his empire what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just he just looked dumb when he did that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So we are running out of time, but I do
Sorry.
Want. But is he hot?
Is he hot?
I do want to ask you guys. So the book has an intro written by Mindy Kaling in it.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about, like, how do you ask Mindy Kaling to write an intro to your cookbook?
Well, she's my boss, so I
asked.
So extra stressful or less stressful?
Well, she heard about the book and she sort of offered, and then I was like, oh, she was probably just saying that. And then I was like, oh, God, I got to actually follow up on this because now that it's on the table, it would be amazing.
Now I have to write this cookbook so she can write a foreword for it.
Yeah, I just like emailed her and was like, it would mean so much to me if you would do this. And she was like, yes, of course.
It's a very sweet intro. Awesome. It's a really great book. Please tell everybody where they can get it. Hot Mess Kitchen.
Anywhere books are sold, including the airport.
Including
airport. Only airport. You have to go through security. You have to buy a ticket and go through security to get our book. It is worth
it. It's worth it, you guys. Plus, who doesn't want to go to Hawaii?
Come on. Book soup at the Terminal 4 at LAX is where you can get
it. And also, if you are in LA this weekend or in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
On when is this going to air?
Tuesday.
After both of
September 20th.
But 21st. If you're in San Francisco, the week of the 24th, we have some cool stuff going on.
Perfect.
Also in New York a couple weeks later, and then in Washington, D.C. If you go to hotmesscookbook.com and click events, you will see all kinds of places that we're going to be showing up and talking and serving treats from the book.
So fun. I wish I could go. Now, this is the final question we ask all of our guests on the podcast. And you can choose to answer it however you want, whether this relates to your cooking, your career, or in life. But what is your secret sauce? Miranda, go first.
Really, really spicy mayo.
Mmm.
I made this joke earlier that on another interview that, like, I just use, like, spices to cover up when things are bad. But I just, like, love...
Where'd it go?
Like, there's a... it's an Asian brand, and I'm not going to say it, but it's sriracha mayo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, the hoi feng?
No.
What if that was what
it is? What it's called,
about,
hoi feng.
The way she pronounced it.
That's the company that makes sriracha.
No, it's not really? Sriracha, though. I wouldn't just say sriracha.
Oh.
It's like a specific thing. I'm going to find another brand, and it. Well, Gabby answers.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Mine is. Butter and black pepper. which is great on pasta. It's great on rice. It's great on chicken. It's great on fish. But what's great about it is that it's really simple, and it tastes like so much more than the sum of its parts. And I like to take that approach to life in general. Simple ingredients, treat them simply, and it'll be more than what you started with.
Mm. Those were great answers.
Okay. Do you have
It's results? Lee Kum Kee.
Oh, Lee Kum Kee, right.
Sriracha mayo. Oh, is that what you said?
No, I said Hoi Fung, but okay. That's a different company. But the Lee Kum Kee is that bottle. They also make like oyster sauce.
Yeah, yeah. It's like very fatty, but it's delicious, I think.
Of course.
Yeah. If you make something and it's not good, you can be like, oh, put this dipping sauce in it. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And yeah, that's my philosophy for life also, to cover things
with some flair.
Cover things up with some flair.
Yeah.
I loved both of those answers because most times people get really metaphorical and deep. One time somebody gave an answer about a river.
And Which was a great answer.
It was a great answer, it wasn't a bad answer at all. But this was an actual food answer, which I don't think anybody's ever given.
Yeah, well, it was good because it was food and philosophy.
That's true.
Life.
That's true. Beautiful answers. Gabby and Miranda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. It was really fun.
Best of luck on your careers and your cookbook. Please tell everybody listening where they can follow you guys on social media, too.
I'm at Gabby Moskowitz. That's GABIMOSKOWITZ on Instagram, Twitter, and I guess if you want to be my Facebook friend. and then Miranda and I also are Hot Mess. We're Hot Mess Kitchen on Twitter and Hot Mess Kitchen Book on Instagram.
It's a really good memory. I am Miranda P. Berman. Berman, like Jewish, on Twitter and Instagram. Please, follow me.
Fantastic. Omar?
I am Omar X Nava on Twitter and Instagram, and we can be found at Foodie Call Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and foodiecallpodcast.com.
Yeah, and follow me on Instagram at Kylie Hodges. I'm thirsty for followers, and I love attention. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you guys. See you next week. Bye.
Foodie call, foodie call, not quite a foodie call, foodie call, foodie call, foodie call, not quite a foodie call, foodie call. Get this.